How many times have we agreed to something and then later wished we hadn't? Did we ever sign up for a project or a class or sign a purchase agreement and then later realize that wasn't going to work out? Maybe it turned out to be too hard to do or too costly. Maybe it just wasn't worth our time or money. How about this one? Did we ever try to fix something that turned out to not be our job to fix? Maybe it was a relationship between two other people. We're just trying to help fix what we thought was broken. Maybe we tried to tell someone how to do their job, even though they were not seeking our help or advice. Another question along this line is, have we ever tried to convert an unconverted person? We know we're to go to our brother if necessary, but what about the unconverted person? There were some boys playing in a park. I heard them use some bad language. I wanted to go over and tell these boys, a 3-year-old child could swear. So they're not proving how grown up they are by using those words. I did not go over, didn't say anything. They're not interested in my opinion. They're not converted. Why would I expect them to act converted when they're not? The truth is, it was not my place to correct them. I would have been stepping out of my box. So I'd like to talk about boxes today. We all have some boxes. We'll look at specifically 3 boxes we all could check. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, before I check this box, is this the right box? The title for the sermon today is Check the Right Box, Applying Spiritual Discernment to the Contents of Our Life. Check the Right Box, Applying Spiritual Discernment to the Contents of Our Life. God tells us, choose life and blessings. We're told, bring our thoughts, every thought into the obedience of Christ. Well, we all understand we reap what we sow. But do we carefully check the seed box to see if the contents are truly what we intend to reap? Or is the box mislabeled and therefore will produce an unexpected or undesired harvest? Instead of thinking outside the box, this afternoon we want to think inside the box. What exactly is in that box? For the sermon today, we'll call our life a great big box. We're taking a walk inside this big as a warehouse box of life. There's many other boxes inside this big one. For example, we're walking around, we find a box labeled attitude. When was the last time we checked to see what is in our attitude box? Sure enough, there's a bunch of boxes inside that box. So we pick one up. First thing on the label, contents, it says sincere humility. And the yes box is checked. So we feel pretty good that humility is in our attitude box. Pick up another little box. The contents says grumpy. Check yes or no. Well, the yes is checked. Wait a minute. We don't want grumpiness in our attitude box. How did that get in there? Well, hopefully we maybe checked the grumpy box on a bad day because we're usually not grumpy every day. So we could go through, sort out our attitude box, clean out the whining and complaining box. We could get rid of the I'll show you box or all the BAs, Kids know that one? Bad attitudes. You ever hear your parents say, you have a bad attitude? Well, these examples of things in our attitude box can be quite revealing. I'll just read a few scriptures about some attitudes here. Proverbs 12, verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that makes ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Her rotten attitude rots his bones. That goes deep. A couple more Proverbs. Proverbs 16, 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. A crabby, grumpy attitude isn't healthy to anyone. One more, Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Well, we could spend all day on cleaning out our attitude box, but I'm just trying to give you the idea of the boxes. We need to check the right box. We want to discern what really is in and what do we actually want in each of our life storage boxes. So that's the idea behind the sermon today. Before we get to the three boxes, I want to focus on, I'll just back up, comment on our first three questions. When we signed up or agreed to something that we later regretted, we checked the wrong box. Instead of the yes box, we should have checked the no thank you box. There is a time to sign up, agree to something. There's a time to not sign up and not agree to something we might later regret. We need to consider and discern exactly what is in that box. What commitment are we binding ourselves to do? Can we follow through or not? When we tried to fix something or someone, when it wasn't our responsibility or our business, we checked the wrong box. We didn't look at the box ingredients close enough. This was a, is this your job to get involved box? Should have checked no. There's a time to help, time to stay out of it, not try to help. And the question about the unconverted boys were not in my box. Now, there is a time to speak up. The hard part is to know when it is part of my box and when it is not. And we'll address that as we move through the message. All of us have many boxes we could check, but for the purpose of the sermon this afternoon, we'll just look at three boxes. Three right boxes that we all need to check. Now, these can overlap. You might put different things in different boxes instead of where I have them. They could double up. And of course, you think of different boxes as well. Whatever approach we take as we seek the answer as to just what is in the box and which box to help, we need to remember, apply the basics. First, seek God's help and the inspiration of His Holy Spirit. We also look to God's Word and to Jesus Christ's example. These basic first steps apply to each and every box we might ever be asked to check. So I think we have the idea, so let's take a walk inside our box. As we're walking through our big box of life, we come to the I am not perfect yet box. We all should have checked the yes, I am not perfect yet box. The first little box we see inside that one is labeled I am perfect. That box is either checked no or it belongs in the I'm just kidding myself box. There may be some people who could, with all honesty, check the almost perfect box. We know not many mighty, not many noble are called. Some may very well be mighty and noble. But for sure, not one person can, with all honesty, check the I am perfect box. We all can and should honestly check the yes, I am not perfect yet box. And there's good reasons for us to check that one. There are very good reasons inside that box. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. Isaiah 66 verse 2. It says, but to this man will I look, even to him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. When we acknowledge that we are in fact not perfect yet and have room for improvement, we'll have a humble attitude and spirit. We'll have a contrite spirit, not be puffed up with ourselves. One dictionary defines contrite as broken in spirit by a sense of guilt. And contrition is sincere sorrow with a true purpose of amendment. So we admit we're not perfect yet. The yet implies we have the hope of becoming perfect at some future date. That should encourage us because we know that God knows we still need to grow in grace and knowledge. We're told to do that, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3 Here it is. Here it says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. God would not have inspired Peter to say that if God planned to just give up on us. I said there's good reasons to check the I am not perfect yet box. We should be very encouraged to know God is still helping us to go on to perfection. Philippians 1 and verse 6, it says, Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It also encourages us when we remember God started working with us when we were not perfect yet. In fact, we were far from it. Romans 5:8, it says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, we were in the not perfect yet box, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, see, still in that not perfect yet box, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled will be saved by his life. So we're thinking inside the box, remember? There's many smaller boxes within the larger one that we could check off as well. So what else is in this box? Encouragement, check. Understanding our need to grow in grace and knowledge, check. What about face the facts? Check, that's in there. Self-examination box, check. We are told, examine ourselves. It's not just pre-Passover instruction. That's a year-round command. When we acknowledge we still require spiritual growth, we will identify what we need to overcome and how to take the steps to make forward progress. So we face the facts. We ask and answer the hard questions. Another box within that box, do we sow the right stuff? Yes or no? We reap what we sow, that's certainly true. Do we sow the right stuff? I'm sure most of us have read or heard the parable of the sower many times. What is the right stuff? What are the right seeds? What kind of harvest do we desire to reap? What does the box say? What are the contents of that box? Produce fruit of the Spirit. We all want to check yes for that one. Are we making progress in the amount of the harvest of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Do we see any increase? Do we produce more love, more patience, more goodness? Do we do the right thing no matter what the consequences? When we check that box within the box, and we should check it, we realize we do have room for improvement. So that can motivate us to try to grow in the areas where our spiritual fruit yield is a bit skimpy. So what about this box? Compromise will work for me, box. Compromise might be in the I'm not perfect yet box, but it doesn't belong in that one. It belongs in the excuses box. So what about that one, the excuses? Excuses will work for me, box. Excuses? Absolutely not. You can find excuses in the hypocrisy box. You can find excuses in the lazy, wicked servant box. You could find it in the yes, but box or the everybody does it box. There's an example of a classic excuse in Proverbs. Proverbs 26, verse 13. The slothful man says, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. He won't go to work. There's a lion in the streets. Slothful means sluggard, which is habitually inactive and indolent, and that means disposition to avoid exertion. There's another proverb, the guy, he's so lazy, it wearies him to bring his spoon or fork to his mouth, he's too lazy to eat. But the guy with the excuse about the lion is easily exposed. You just look down the street. The fact is, there's not a lion out there. It means it's an excuse, and a poor one at that. The I'm not perfect yet box is not an excuse box to justify lack of effort, to overcome, and strive to go on to perfection. The second box brings us to the second box that we all should check yes. And this one is the my responsibilities box. Now, we check the yes because we all have personal responsibilities, spiritual responsibilities as well. So what are some of the details and contents inside of this box? What smaller boxes do we need to check? Yes. The responsibility to work out my own salvation box is in there. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, not just when someone is looking or watching, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Mr. Wickman's sermon on pleasing God, he mentioned that some people feel you can't do that. Well, we're told here, We do. Do we do that by ourselves? Can we earn salvation by works? No, that is impossible. Doing right later doesn't erase the wrong that was done earlier. It is with God's help, Him helping us do our part, that we work things out. The next verse, Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God helps us will to do it. He helps us want to obey Him in the first place. Then He helps us follow through to do our part and work out our own salvation. There's an example of some not doing their part in the parable of the sower over in Mark 4. Mark 4, starting at verse 16. These are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they've heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. Well, so far, so good. But it goes on, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution rises, for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. They have no root in themselves. They endured for a time. They didn't use that time to get solid. They didn't take personal responsibility to grow, to put down spiritual roots, and become truly grounded in the Word. Ephesians 3 and verse 17. Ephesians 3:17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. And another scripture along that same line, Colossians 1 and verse 23. Colossians 1:23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So we have that responsibility to continue and to endure and put down the spiritual roots and not neglect so great salvation. In Philippians, should have told you to stay there, Philippians 2 verse 14. Another little box in the My Responsibilities box is right in that verse. It says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Murmuring, disputing, they're in the bad attitude boxes that we mentioned earlier. We have the responsibility to remove the bad attitudes as well. I'll just mention another little box within the larger box of personal responsibilities. It's found in Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, transforming, renewing our minds, they're not small responsibilities. But with God's help, they are our responsibilities. And they're, in fact, major responsibilities. Another area in this box of personal responsibility, I think people can have trouble understanding with regard as how we might apply this information. John 18. John 18. And starting in verse 36. John 18:36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here." The principle here is if Jesus' kingdom was of this world, then his servants would fight. But it isn't, so we don't fight. We can't fix or correct this present evil world. The point I want us to understand is this. Don't get involved when we should not get involved. It's not our box. What do I mean by that? It's not our responsibility. Now is not our time to try to convert the world. Or even a single person. It's not our responsibility. Last Sabbath, Mr. Randall reminded us, come out of this world, this Babylon of politics. We can't fix it. Our votes are not able to fix lawless Babylon. We don't join that fight. There's a time to get involved. There is a time to help. And knowing the answer to when to get involved and when is the time to help takes spiritual discernment. Usually getting involved and helping would be with physical help and service of some kind rather than trying to correct this present evil world. That time will come when Christ reigns over the earth. We can't convert the unconverted. You know, going back to the boys in the park using bad language, I couldn't convert them, but I could offend them by trying to correct them when they don't want to be or even cannot be corrected. Only God can open their minds to see that they're wrong. Not too long ago in the news, a few weeks ago, there's a story about a lady. She just honked her horn at someone who cut her off in traffic. The people in the other car shot her 4 times because she did that. If she honked her horn to prevent an accident, that'd be one thing. She honked her horn to give correction to the other drivers. A big difference. It was not her box to give correction. Now, I'm not faulting her in a sense. She did not deserve to be shot or even shot at. But honking her horn was not going to change his driving habits. She was not able to fix lawless Babylon. Just in the news, another story, St. Paul police asked for the public's help Monday to identify a man suspected in a brutal assault outside a gas station a week ago. A 55-year-old man suffered a traumatic brain injury and was in the hospital's intensive care unit, but has since been released. About 4:30 p.m., May 16th, officers responded to the Holiday Station on Snelling Avenue near Interstate 94 about a man who'd been assaulted and knocked unconscious. The victim had been a patron of the gas station. He's walking through the lot, and he saw 2 men dumping trash from their vehicle on the ground by the gas pumps. So when the victim said, "Really, guys?" That's all he said. The 2 men attacked him. Paramedics transported the victim to the hospital. He's found to have a severe brain bleed. This man was not able to fix lawless Babylon. Proverbs 26:17. It says, "He that passes by and meddles with strife, not belonging to him, is like one that takes a dog by the ears." Doesn't work. It's not a good idea. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We don't want fear to prevent us from doing the right and speaking up when we should, or becoming involved when we should become involved. I'm sure we could find good examples of people getting involved and then in the end having a good result. Is our motive and purpose to help and to serve, or is our motive and purpose to fix or correct? The answer to that question is spiritually discerned. The point of the example is that if we fail to have a clear understanding of our spiritual responsibilities, we can step outside of our box. And it's almost certain to have a bad ending instead of a good ending. We can interfere when we should not say anything. We can try to correct the unconverted or fight to change this world if we want. But if Jesus' kingdom was of this world, his servants would fight. But it isn't, so we don't fight. We're not able to fix lawless Babylon. Doesn't mean we don't have responsibilities that we do need to do. We do have things we are responsible to do. Ephesians 4 mentions that. Ephesians 4 verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your calling wherewith you're called. To walk worthy of our calling is a big, big responsibility. Verse 13. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We all have the personal responsibility to come to the standard of Christ. He's the standard of the moral character that we are to reach until we become like him. So, of course, one of the greatest personal spiritual responsibilities that we have. Before we go to the third box, I'll mention we're all accountable for what we do, even if we're forgiven when we fail to fulfill a responsibility. I'll just read Romans 14:12, it says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We won't turn there now, but in the account of David, it's told by Nathan the prophet, God forgave him with his sin with regard to Bathsheba and Uriah, but he, God, would still hold David in account. And three things resulted from David's sin, even after he was forgiven. The child would die, David's concubines would be publicly shamed, and the sword would not depart from David's house. So it's not easy, but we need to strive to discern spiritually if we're going to reap a good or bad harvest from whatever words we say or things we do. So we can think of other little boxes in that area, personal responsibilities, but let's go to a third box. If we're to reach the fullness of Christ, then we need to check the next box. The third box, my priority box. We need to have our vision and our goals clearly in focus if we are to correctly set our priorities. Do we have some spiritual priorities? If we do, check yes. Well, what comes to mind when we think of spiritual priorities? What are some of the smaller boxes in that big box? Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So our number one priority, put God first. Seek his righteousness, his kingdom. How do we do that? We give priority to prayer and Bible study. We make it a priority to worship God in spirit and in truth. We have to have the right spirit, the right attitude, and we have to have the truth. After our number one priority of putting God first, what comes to mind is being in the second place and third, so on down the line. Where does time for yourself come in? You know, we can think of many personal activities as well as church and outside activities that need to be prioritized. Just mention a few, and you could rank them yourself. Personal activities, training children, housework or occupation, extra sleep, personal prayer and Bible study, reading or watching TV for enjoyment, or reading for edification, getting together with friends. Some church and outside activities, Sabbath services, funerals, weddings, outside social activities, Bible studies, fellowship with neighbors and friends, fellowship with brethren. See, all these areas, you have a whole list. They all have a priority whether we think about assigning them a number or not. So we have to make it a point to spiritually discern what order of importance we want to give them. Another vitally important area in our lives, the world would maybe place a low priority on, and we'd give it a very high priority, and that's personal integrity and ethics. If we're to grow to the standard of the moral character of Christ, we simply must set personal integrity and ethics as a very high priority. Proverbs 11:3, it says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." Again, that could be a whole sermon. I just wanted to mention that. But this is a large box. And if we didn't check the yes box, we have priorities, then we have a priority problem. We simply will not be able to honestly give priority to anything in a consistent manner if we don't focus that we have priorities. Can't even count on ourselves to do the right thing or be dependable if we didn't have personal integrity to follow through on anything. Psalm 15, it's a short psalm, but I would like to just quickly read that one. A psalm of David. "Lord, who will abide in your tabernacle? Who will dwell in your holy hill?" And then he answers. I think this is all about personal integrity. "He who walks uprightly, works righteousness, speaks the truth in his heart, he who doesn't backbite with his tongue or do evil to his neighbor or take up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honors them who fear the Lord, and he swears to his own hurt, changes not. He gives his word, he keeps his word. Doesn't put out his money to usury or take reward against the innocent. He who does these things will never be moved." When we're motivated and set our priority to put God first and worship God in spirit and in truth, there isn't any room for compromise in these verses. Basically, there's three kinds of motivation. It could be motivated by fear, a fear of punishment unless we do the right. It could be motivated by incentive, a reward for doing the right thing. But the third motivator is the best, and that is attitude. Our attitude, our desire to do right no matter what the consequences, and then to do it from the heart. Jesus did. We ask ourselves, will my priorities help me come to the measure of the fullness of Christ? Which box do I check? Yes or no? We've seen there's many boxes in our lives. We certainly have some fun thinking about some of them, like, would I like a hot fudge sundae box? Well, I check yes. But if we're going to make a choice or decide which way to go or what to do and ask ourselves, is this a good box to check? Is this really a good idea box? Take a closer look inside the box. the what happens next box, all right? How many calories for Sunday? Do I really want all those calories? See, that's just saying what we said earlier, using different words. The what happens next box is the same as saying, what will I reap if I sow these words, these actions, or these thoughts? Is this a good idea box? It's the same as quoting 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself, take a closer look. Another quote in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 11. For we would judge ourselves. If we do that, we should not be judged. So what is our motive for checking whatever box we desire to check? Is it being driven by the flesh or by the spirit? So we begin to wrap things up. We read Romans 8:6. Romans 8 and verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. That does not sound like there are any good things, any place in that box. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Sounds like there is nothing but good things in that box. Checking the spiritually minded box is good. There's a lot of good things in that box. So we looked at three main boxes this afternoon. We all would do well to check off as a yes. Yes, I would like the contents of those boxes to be a part of my life. As we go through life, young or old, before we check this box or any box, take a closer look to spiritually discern what really is in each specific box. What does the contents say? What does the fine print say? What will be the true cost if I check this box? So final scripture is in 1 Corinthians 2. How do we discern what results will happen if we check a box? Will checking the box result in obeying and trusting God no matter what? Does checking this box bring my every thought as well as my words and actions into captivity to the obedience of Christ? How can we know for certain? 1 Corinthians 2, starting with verse 13 through 16. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We're not just to stumble around in our box of life, bumping into crates and boxes and who knows what. We're to keep our life decent and in order. Each choice, each decision we make needs to be checked by the Word of God. He who is spiritual judges all things. Be careful. Look in the box, see what's really in there. Make a careful spiritual discernment. Should I check yes? Should I check no? If I say these words, will they help or hurt? Will they build up or tear down? Check yes or no. If I think these thoughts, are they really in captivity to obedience to Christ? Check yes or no. If I do these things, am I acting with integrity? Am I doing the right thing? No matter what the consequences? Check yes or no. If no, then I'm checking the wrong box. So, someone asked you, what was Mr. Klein's sermon about this time? Hope you'd tell them this. It was about applying spiritual discernment to the contents of our life. God told us, He set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. He said, choose life. This sermon was about choosing life. It was about stopping to think before we do or say, think anything. Is this a good idea? Are the contents of this box we're about to open really something we want? Are the things in there really good for me or anyone else? Will they help us go on to perfection? Will they help us with our responsibilities as a Christian and in our day-to-day life? Will the contents of this box we're about to open fit within our Christian priorities? Or will it hurt them by lowering our priorities and standards? Before we make a commitment to receiving the contents or accepting the results of checking yes to whatever box, the question we have to ask ourselves, am I about to check the right box? Am I choosing life? We just read, the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. If we are to successfully bring every thought into the captivity of obedience to Christ all the time, all day, every day, with God's help, we can spiritually discern what results the true contents within each box of life's choices will produce. It will be clear to us if our choice will produce the fruit of the Spirit or the works of the flesh. Before we think or say or do anything, brethren, let's be sure to stop, take the time and effort to spiritually discern that we are, in fact, going to check the right box.